In a world obsessed with tech trends and growth hacks, there's one thing that's timeless: the power of human connections. Today's guest believes that the most successful brands are built on this foundation. That's why she founded Human Brands Win. Stick around for Strategy Talks. We'll be right back.
Let's strategize together. Let's hear it from an expert. Join the conversation, it's informative and free. You and me, let's talk some strategy. Now here's your host, Doreen Morin Van Dam.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome back for another episode of Strategy Talks. I want to welcome all of you who are here live with us. Make sure if you have questions, put them in the comments. Let us know what you think. If you're watching this on the replay right here on LinkedIn or YouTube or Facebook, put hashtag replay in the comments so we know that you are rewatching this. And I want to do a special shout out, as always, to those of you who listen to Strategy Talks as a podcast. So thank you so much for being in our audience. So today's guest, I'm going to bring her right up on the stage with us, is Lindsay Chepkema. And I love saying her name, even though she's American. She has a Frisian, which is part of the Netherlands, a Frisian name. And when you and I met, I knew exactly how to pronounce it. It was really fun. And so welcome to Strategy Talk.
Thank you. I love you saying my name. If I remember correctly, you like picked up my, we were being introduced and you picked up my name tag and you were like, oh, Chepkema, that's Frisian. It's like, say it again.
I absolutely love it. Love it. But yeah, that's got to be a tough name to have. People just don't know how to say it, right?
And I didn't grow up with it. I married it. So yeah. It's been a wild ride.
Yeah. Well, hey, side note, when I first met my husband, I had only been in the US. This is a funny story. 2 months when I met him, and I was an au pair and I was living with a family. And so they asked me who this guy was I was going to go out with on a date, because this was before social media. I go, well, his name is Paul. And they go, well, what's his last name? And with a straight face, I go, moron. I didn't know what that word meant. And that's something that I had heard. So they're like, they just died laughing. They're like, there's no way his last name is moron, Doreen. I'm like, it's M-O something. I don't know.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Funny names, funny last names. All right. So Lindsay, tell me about your journey, especially your journey in the last year. I know you just recently moved to Boston, but there's a lot of other stuff happening behind the scenes. So set the stage for us a little bit before we start talking about B2B brand building.
Yeah. So I spent, at this point, more than 2 decades in marketing. I've always been a marketer. I'm one of those nerds that went to school for marketing, and that's all I've ever done is marketing, specifically brand content, storytelling, thought leadership. Even before that was a thing, that's what I was doing and what I was obsessed with. 2019, I left my roles, many, many lives as a marketing leader to start a company. I stepped into the founder and CEO role and started a company called Casted, where we were a podcast and video marketing platform for B2B brands. Did that for 5 years, helped a lot of brand builders, a lot of people that were in roles like I had been in. And then in April of 2024, I left that company when I moved from Indiana to Boston to kind of get back out of the CEO founder of a tech company seat and come back to my real passion, which is actually doing the brand content, storytelling, thought leadership for businesses. And so now, for the last several months, I've been working with founders directly again, not through a software platform. which is great, but just getting right back into the heart of storytelling and saying, hey, let's talk about your why. Let's talk about the why of this business. Let's talk about, you know, the challenges your customers are facing and weave it all together in a way that is really human, really compelling, and really authentic. And so that's what I'm doing now.
Yeah, I love that. And for those of the people that are watching, those of you who are watching, you know, Lindsay's really focused on that brand building. I keep hearing her say that, the B2B, right? And that's, you know, when I talk to other marketers, they say, oh, that's so hard. And to hear you've been in that space for 20 years and you love it, there's got to be some magic there that some of us don't know about. So I think that's what today's episode's going to be about, is maybe you transferring some of that magic and that love for B2B brand building onto all of us, especially those who are in-house, might be struggling. And, you know, those are the questions that I hear often. Well, what do we talk about? And I always start with bring the humans forward. And there's such resistance to that. So that's going to be my first question, Lindsay. How do we get buy-in, and how do we get people in the companies, especially the C-suite and the stakeholders, to understand that humans, even if it's a B2B, need to be part of your core, of your branding, of your conversations?
I've been a part of very, very large companies, and I've helped very, very large companies, and I have been a part of, and I have helped, and I've served very, very small companies. And when you're smaller and there's a founder, maybe you are the founder, maybe you're the first marketer working with a founder, you can go directly to them. You have like the luxury of going to them and saying, hey, look, your story matters. And this is what I do all the time. Like, your why matters. Why did you do this? Why? And kind of digging into that, sometimes it's uncomfortable. That's one way. Another way that, which I think is a lot more challenging, is the larger the business gets, the farther away it gets from that why. When you're working, you're not working with a founder, you're working with an executive team, or you're not even accessing the executive team. You're working with your VP of marketing, who is, you know, many layers removed. And in that case, I actually go to the other extreme, and no one can or will ever argue with you saying, hey, we need to tell more customer stories. And so if you can't bring forward the founder story, the executive why, if it's too far removed, bring forward the why and the stories of your customers. And that doesn't necessarily have to be, oh, we saved somebody 30% or we made them $1 billion. It can be like, why us? Like, how is this impacting your life? How is this impacting your role? Just get in and tell the stories of your customers any way you can, which we can get into. But there's always a way. There's always a way to, as I love the way you said it, to bring the humans forward. And if that path isn't the one that everybody's telling you, look for other ones. There are always people in the organization. There's always people around the organization whose stories can be told that will be beneficial for the business.
Yeah. And I'm going to pick a little bit more even. I've worked for some nonprofits specifically. I know it's a little bit different than B2B, and we want to move those customer stories forward, but there's some sense, sometimes there's sensitive materials where the C-suite, the stakeholders are afraid that there's going to be sensitive information, or they don't want to give the marketer access to the customers. Yeah. How does that work? Because that happens too. Then, there's another barrier.
Yeah, there's another one. There's many ways that I've worked around it, but assuming that it's a complete roadblock, which, because I've run into those, and it's like customers either don't exist, completely inaccessible, sensitive information. Look inside the company, right? So what product developer, what product marketer, what engineer, what intern, like who inside the company can start to tell any type of story about how a product feature was developed, why a new line of business was created, how the company has solved a problem from the inside out. Start somewhere and say, okay, we can't share this information publicly. That's a roadblock. What can you share? Internal comms, your internal audience is your first audience. So even if you can't publish something externally, ask yourself, like, what could we start sharing internally to get some more of that buy-in about storytelling in general, about, hey, imagine if we are sharing this compelling vision, getting this engagement on stuff that's happening internally, imagine what we could do if we started getting more access to customers, if we could get more access to founder stories or executive why. There's always a place to start.
All right, let's talk about storytelling. You've been doing that for a long time. It's a concept that we hear about, we know we should be doing. Is there a storyteller course that we need to take? What are some pointers that you can give to a marketer? Especially, you know, I've got an audience of a good mix of business owners and social media managers, of course, strategists and CEOs and, you know, a big group of people, but somebody who's listening to you and saying, you know, I've been hearing about storytelling. I don't really know if I'm doing it right, or I don't really know where to start. What's storytelling?
So I have to admit, I have resisted the word storytelling and story for such a long time because, and I wonder if it's just me, but like anytime I hear storytelling, I honestly think of a bunch of kids sitting on a carpet in a library with a librarian, like holding up a book, telling
story time.
Right. And I'm like, I don't do that. That's not what I do. It's like, okay, well, that's silly. What is brand storytelling? What is business storytelling? Then I still like that thread is strong. And I'm like, okay, well, oh, what is my story? There has to be a hero's journey. There has to be a beginning, middle, end. There has to be something publishable that has a book cover and illustrations. And that's not true either. Story doesn't have to be whatever it is you're telling yourself that it is. Story is, it starts with a why and is engaging, right? So it is going to customers and saying, why us? Why are you facing the challenges that you're facing? And how does what we're doing together help solve it? It goes to your executive and says, why? Why did you start this business? Like, it goes to some of the people that are working in the company and saying, you're really talented. Why are you working here? You know, it's storytelling. Mm. Honestly, as simple as it is, literally just asks why and crafts whatever responses come from answering that question. It crafts that all into just sharing it. It shares the answers to the questions of why.
All right. I love that. So if you're listening, if you're watching this, start asking the why questions. Now I'm going to shift this, the storytelling. I'm going to put out another word that we hear about often, thought leadership. So what is then the difference between thought leadership and storytelling? If you're a CEO, is that the same thing?
That's a good question. I think, and I'm thinking on the cuff here, but my immediate response is I think thought leadership is a version of storytelling.
Okay.
Because storytelling is just what I said. It's answering why.
Yep.
Sometimes that why is a really big, broad question. Why is the industry the way that it is? Why is this problem as big as it is? Why are people accepting this status quo? Why, you know, it's answering the really big questions in ways that provoke new ideas and new thoughts and new conversation. That doesn't mean it's actually saw something literally on LinkedIn this morning about is, you know, thought leadership does not equal being contrarian. It doesn't have to be against everything. And just because you're a contrarian doesn't mean that you're a thought leader.
Mm.
It's a version of storytelling. Yeah. You don't get to deem yourself a thought leader. It is a version of storytelling that makes people think differently. That's all that is.
That is what that is. And I love what you just said. It's just because somebody else has to give you the title of thought leader. You can't make yourself one just by putting out a bunch of content. Doesn't make you a thought leader. It's when people like your content, follow your content, respond to your content, share your content, and engage with it. That's when you become a thought leader, when you can duplicate that over and over again. So for those smaller companies, and you ask the why of the founders, those stories can also become pieces of that we woven in as that thought leadership. I love that. When I talk about thought leadership, I also think about what is your opinion about this new thing, this trend, this law, this happening, this new platform change, like anything within your industry, what are your thoughts as a leader, right? Mm-hmm. To make it really simple on this thing that is happening. And so it can weave in, of course, all those stories that we want to tell. Does every business brand, does every B2B brand have to have a unique selling proposition for it to really work, for these stories to really work, right? I'm kind of, no, it doesn't.
No, I think, and it's funny, I am on the receiving end of that right now. So being someone who is planting my flag in brand content, storytelling, you know, helping people pursue thought leadership, I am receiving a lot of that. Like, well, what's different about that? What's your unique value proposition? You know, how are you proving ROI? And I'm like, no. Like, don't put me in a box. And because the differentiator, what I always say in response to that, or like, you know, yeah, but how are we standing out in the crowd? The differentiator is you. Is the people, right? The one thing that a business has that no one else can replicate, that AI can't copy, that cannot be duplicated or commoditized, is people. It's the humans. And when there's a founder present, it's the founder. It's the founder's why. When there's a team of people creating something new and innovative, it's the why behind it. It's the how it comes together because of the brains that are involved, which is why storytelling is so important. Even if you have two exact same products with the exact same value proposition, you know, Coke and Pepsi, like they're the same thing. It's the story. It is the story behind it, whether it's a matter of it's more convenient, they understand me more, it's, you know, it fits me more. Like the story of the who and the why is always the differentiator. And you don't have to have a unique value prop to have a unique story.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about what's coming up, future trends, right? We're talking about B2B brand building strategies. We know we want to lead with humans. We want to lead with storyteller. Are there any trends or technologies that you see will help with that? Things that are people, businesses leaving on the table? I'm just thinking video, but what are you seeing happening as we look ahead to 2025, which is not that far away?
No, it's right. It's like literally on the other side of the door. I don't think we could get through an entire conversation without saying AI. So I'm just
gonna
mark off your bingo card. AI, and I think that I'm seeing a lot of the like craze starting to like chill out. Mm-hmm. But AI is not going to do it for, it is a thing. It is a very, very, very big thing. It is not the thing, right? Mm-hmm. So trends, in a hopeful manner, I think, and I hope, and I believe that AI in 2025 will start to find its place in making brands and businesses more human, right? It's not those who get it right and win in the long term will leverage things like AI to actually take some of the grunt work out of life so that they can be more human. And you've said video, podcast shows can do more with conversations like what we're having, have more real, authentic human conversations, in-person events, virtual live conversations, recorded content, and then use technology that helps deliver that content and distribute it to more people so that you can build relationships in mass. I think that's what's growing and I hope we see more of next year.
I love that. So you're saying using AI wisely to take the task away that really make us bogged down. And when we don't have those things on our plate, we can show up more human online. Mm-hmm. We can show up more human on video, in podcasts. I think that is a really great way to say that. So for those who either own a brand and are a startup, or somebody who's working with a startup, and they aspire to be brand builders. What advice, Lindsay, would you give them when they're just getting started? I know you probably have a whole footprint or a journey map for yourself and that you take people through, you know, your companies that you work with. But for somebody who's doing that for a company or a startup or owner themselves, maybe talks first about what skills they need or what things they need to think about when they start on that brand building journey.
Regardless of whether you are a solopreneur or you are part of a, 10,000 person team, the first step is asking yourself, just giving yourself a hot minute before you try to do anything, is ask yourself, who is this for? Why are we doing it? Right? So who are we serving? Like, who is our audience? And really, really answer that question, because we think we know all of our ICPs and our personas. But like, whatever this thing, whether you're brand building or you're working on like a new podcast, like project, initiative, big, massive brand, always, always, always take a minute to really answer the question, who is this for? What do we know about them? How deep can we go about who this is for? And why are we doing it? Not every initiative is going to add to cart, is going to generate, 10x right. revenue. Sometimes it's a longer, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Sometimes it is we need to generate X by Y. Mm-hmm. Define who it's for, why you're doing it before you do anything else. And then start to ask why, okay, great. Now we know who it's for. We know why we're doing it. Why does this solve the problem? Why is this thing that we're doing relevant? And start to capture some of those stories.
All right. We're not quite at the end, but I've got a question that could go a lot of different ways, right? So we already talked about a couple obstacles, about, hey, you talk about humans first and then, oh, the CEO, they're not available. Hey, you can't have access to my clients or our clients. And then so you have to start with the humans inside the company. What other obstacles are there when we're talking about B2B brand building that maybe you can remove just by giving some advice? What other obstacles are there? The things that I hear is it's boring. That's one of the obstacles I hear. It's so boring. It's too technical. A lot of content is too technical. And I have to do this all by myself. So those are kind of the three that I hear. What have you seen and how can we help people move forward?
Okay. Let's just work on those. Cause I hear those all the time too. I think B2B, there is this perception that, but that's cool if you're in like marketing technology, but like I'm in whatever. I used to do content for like a billion years ago for a company that did antimicrobial testing for consumer goods, And the thing is that there's always story there. There always is. If someone is buying a product or a service, they have a problem. They have a challenge. They have a need. Like, appeal to that. It doesn't have to. Yeah, sure. It's going to look different. The stories you tell are going to look different, but if you can tap into that, why do we exist? Who is this for? Like, tell the stories about the problem that's solved. And it will matter. Even if you are not the buyer and it doesn't matter to you, again, you're not the buyer. Who is this for? What problem are we solving? And there are a million examples of companies that are boring that are doing some really cool content. That's not an excuse. You're a team of one. Cool. You don't have to produce a, blockbuster show or, win awards. Like, again, just start having conversations and leverage social media. That's a way that, you can interact with people in a very quick and relevant way. And limitations as far as budget or resources. There's a saying that says, don't compare your beginning with someone else's middle or end. Like, start with where you are. Look at what you got. Like, look at what you're already doing. The newsletter you're already posting, the two LinkedIn posts you're allowed to do every week, whatever it may be. And just ask yourself, how can I be more human with what I have? How can I be more authentic and bring those humans forward? Like you said, Doreen, in whatever it is I'm already doing. Just start there. You don't have to start some big new initiative.
That's awesome. That's great. Hopefully that helps somebody on the other end. I always, you know, challenge people to challenge me. I'm like, give me an industry. I'm sure I can come up with a piece of content. That's
That'll
kind
be
of
fun. Should do that as a show.
I know. I think it would be super fun because I have all kinds of ideas and all kinds of ways to get ideas forward. You can do this and this. It's the implementation part that sometimes I get deep dive and stuck in, you know, then I'm doing the video editing and the other stuff. But yeah, I like the ideas. I like the thinking of ways to pull people together. Lindsay, if you had a magic wand and you could work with any company in the world because they're either boring and you want to make them more human, or they are doing some amazing things and you want to have just be part of that team, which company would that be?
Oh, man. Well, ironically, you and I met at Inbound, and there you are with your orange glasses, which is not for HubSpot, but it reminds me of HubSpot. HubSpot has been my brand, I have been a HubSpot fangirl since 2012, I think. And to me, they will always be an Inbound like marketing engine. And now they're like CRM, and they're like, they've evolved so much. And I love, I love how they have evolved and how they have prioritized humans and culture, like their own internal humans and their customers. And, you know, they have a podcast network that is lifting up creator voices. And have they done everything right? Of course not. But like, I love what they're doing. And you're talking about magic wand. I would love to be a part of that.
I agree. I have to, there's something magical. And then when you go to Inbound, go to their conference, you feel that connection with people. You feel the enthusiasm. And anybody that I've met, like half the people I met that seem to work for HubSpot.
Yeah.
This is amazing. They have all their people come to their conference, and I agree with you. They are pretty amazing group. So Lindsay, so you are kind of starting over since April this year, kind of doing something new. Who are you working with? Like, we're getting to the point where I want to lift you up and say, hey, people, connect with Lindsay. Who are you working with? Where can people connect with you? And where can they learn more from you if they're not quite ready to connect with you? Where are you most active on social?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if Yamini who's the new-ish CEO at HubSpot is listening and wants to come hang out with me anytime. But really, I work with founders and brand leaders of B2B businesses of all sizes. I have worked with teams of one and very, very large enterprise companies like HubSpot, IBM, Salesforce. And so if you are a founder or a brand leader of a B2B company and you buy into what we're talking about bringing the humans forward, and you want some help, that's what I do. I work with businesses to help them grow through brand content and story. And you can find me, I do a lot on LinkedIn. Okay. And then I have a website at humanbrandswin.com, or you can also get to it at lindsaychepkema.com.
Awesome. Thank you. And you and I are both speaking at the B2B forum. That is amazing. So we get to meet up again. And so that's another thing that you do, correct? You do training and you do speaking. So
I do.
That's really cool. Well, I have really enjoyed getting to know you, Lindsay. And now that you're in Boston, kind of nearer to where I am in Vermont, I'm sure we'll meet up at some more conferences, hopefully 2025. It's been an amazing conversation. Is there anything, Lindsay, that I didn't ask you? A B2B strategy or a B2B tip or something that you want to leave our viewers and our listeners with that is like, do this one thing, or in a piece of encouragement?
Trust your gut. Tell the story. Stop listening so much to what everybody is saying. Sure, me included. Like, don't spend too much time on LinkedIn listening to what everybody else has to say. Trust your gut. Do the things. And see what happens.
Awesome. Well, Lindsay Chepkema, thank you so much for being with us today. I'll be back next week with another episode of Strategy Talks. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.